pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Supervisors Meeting, September the 20th, 2022. Is there any changes to the agenda?
No.
I have none.
We shall meet with department heads and elected officials, territory, auditor's office, payroll clerk.
Good morning. Just keeping busy as usual. Nothing new to report at this time.
Okay, thank you. Paul and Gert, IT Department.
Just keep busy like always, catch up on projects. Nothing new to report.
Kevin Glendinning, County Sheriff.
Good morning. Been another busy week. Our jail population's up to 99, 18 out of county. There is a jury trial going today upstairs. That's on a robbery from last year. So hopefully we'll move some of those through the court services and get some of those out of our jails, I hope. But other than that, yesterday we had a meeting on the ISICS, the radio system. Appreciate you guys that were able to attend. It was pretty difficult to sit through some of that education on radio, trying to learn a lot myself on it. It was interesting. We tested the state system throughout Des Moines County. It was very, very comparable to ours, and it comes with some positives, but there's also some expenses. So we'll probably begin to evaluate those as a group, first responders, law enforcement, fire in Des Moines County over the next probably several months to year, and plan out over the next couple of years how we want that to go. It's something we need to keep on our minds of how to improve the system and how to have better communication, interoperability with other agencies. Continue to go through the Motorola system, the record management, and CAD. We have several of our staff over at the police department today, and they're building the system. And hopefully this will kind of be the conclusion of that this week, and then we'll start some training in the weeks and months to come. And we're hoping to go live with that whole system countywide by February, early March is the current time. So we've had a lot of involvement in that. Colin and his staff and the PD, West Burlington, the jail, and our staff have all been heavily involved. So it's taken a lot to build it, to work for us here in Des Moines County, but it'll be worth it when it's done. It looks to be a really good system. There's a couple things I'm forgetting from last week, but if they come back to me, I'll hit you on public comment. But that's all I've got for now.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Rodney Blazer, maintenance.
Good morning. Nothing new to report. Just having a good night today.
Okay, thank you, Rodney. Terry Johnson, County Auditor.
Good morning. Today is National Voter Registration Day. We have provided, the library asked, so we provided them with voter registration forms and all of that, so they've got that. As regarding to the election, our UCABA voters, which are overseas citizens and military, we have to start mailing either mail or email their packets to them by the end of the week. They're the first ones that get their stuff mailed to them. And so far we've got one that we need to mail and six to email. So that's so far. But as they come in, then we'll send them out. And the SOS office should be sending out reminders of the new polling locations. They sent those out prior to the primary election, and then they're sending them out again prior to the general election. We figured that would be a lot easier for them to do it than for us to print it ourselves for every registered voter and put postage on it. So.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Mike James, Southeast Valley Regional Planning.
Yeah, good morning. Things going pretty well. Pretty much business as usual. Nothing really urgent to report. Just got a couple permits. Probably have a subdivision on the agenda for next week. Minor subdivision. Then we'll have our work session next week on wind and solar ordinance. And I think Jared will be back in the office, I think, tomorrow, too. So
great.
Good to see him back.
Relieve
a few things for me, so.
Okay. Thanks, Zach. Yep. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. just got back from a conference in Dubuque, so it seems like a lot of things going on Tuesdays here, but it was this last week, so our statewide County Conservation Conference is up in Dubuque County, screening stuff up there. And we are gearing up for our annual Big Halloween event, our Halloween trick-or-treating event in Big Hollow. It's October 8th, and we're expecting a pretty big crowd for that, so we're just trying to get our kind of our promotions and stuff and all the logistics worked out. So the volunteer group that largely puts most of that on is meeting quite regularly. I think they meet this Saturday to try to work on logistics for the haunted hayride drives that they're doing. So that is shaping up to probably be the biggest event in that part of the year, bigger even than the youth jamboree, I think. And so we invite folks out October 8th, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock will be the trick-or-treating, kind of the family side of things. And then we'll have a little gap in there, and then from 7 to 9 is kind of more of the older kid and adult program, where it's going to be the haunted hayrack rides through the forest area where they set up all the haunted stuff, and then we're going to have a live band. Anybody knows of a band that wants to play at this event? I'm struggling to find one. And then we'll have s'mores and food trucks and all sorts of fun stuff. So looking forward to seeing anybody.
Band from when to when?
So the first part, the family part, is 4 till 6, and then 7 till 9 is the haunted hayrack, kind of the more older kid and adult part.
Tom, Jim, it's time to get the band back together, boys.
Oh,
that's so funny, man.
You haven't heard me say.
Or me. Or you, I suspect.
Thanks, Chris. Janelle, how's the treasurer's office?
We're busy, very busy.
Very busy.
So just a reminder, September 30th, the last day for the first half property taxes.
Thank you. In line, the seal region.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to thank our sheriff and his crew. He had quite a crew there on Friday for meeting about crisis services, and I appreciate you coming out and meeting with the region. And our jail administrator was there too. And so we invited all the sheriffs from all eight counties, and our sheriff and Washington County sheriff are two of the leaders in our region, I think, that showed up and gave us some great input. And we talked a lot about access, the new access services available in Ottumwa or in Iowa City. And the Washington County sheriff has tried out the one in Iowa City, and it's just quite a drive from Burlington, Iowa to either one of those two. We wish we had one right in our region to do, but these are new services, and we're just glad to give them a try and see if they help. That's our intention, is to try and have some contracts and help law enforcement with people in crisis. We've got our first annual statewide coordination conference coming up next week on Wednesday the 28th. And so we're going to talk about jail diversion, crisis services, service coordination that coordinators of disability services like myself are doing across the state. So I'm excited to have that. That's the first time we've all gotten together since we've been regions for this purpose. So I think that'll be a good one day meeting together. It's always good to share ideas and see what's working and try and figure out what can we do with our limited resources here. So I guess that's all I have for now.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Natalie, staff here, reporter of office.
Good morning. We're just business as usual. Nothing new to report.
Okay, Mr. Carter, how's the secondary roads going?
Things are moving along. The rain slowed things down just a little bit, but it was nice to finally blade some gravel roads with some rain. So guys have been out blading yesterday and today, and there's a couple chances of moisture this week, so if we get them, we'll blade all week, which would be really good. So that's coming along. We 115th is the grading, gravel road grading job. It's in the latter stages, but it's not done. I think they've got some touch-up work to do now that obviously it got pretty wet, so it's got to dry back out a little bit and finish the rocking and some stuff like that. But it is a pretty significant change, and I think a pretty significant improvement. So as we move along, I'll try to get you guys down there so you can take a look at that. But I really like the product I see. I think it was a good investment for that location. That contractor is supposed to move on up the road on 99 and start dirt work on the dry branch project, which is just a quick reminder, is a grading phase, which is then I'm assuming will be then followed by kind of a winter construction process for the bridge. During that grading phase, we don't anticipate any full closures, but there is going to be an extended one lane dynamic there where we'll have lights set up on both ends, and we'll also manage the traffic coming off of Walker Road, 90th, White Camp, whatever you wish to call that. So I'm sure that'll perhaps frustrate or whatever some people, but we made it a point to keep the road open rather than having it closed. So it could be worse at this point. So that has not started yet. Even though I think working days are supposed to start yesterday with the weather we had, that we didn't start charging working days. So anyway, yeah, I mean, Pleasant Grove's open. I think it looks good. And we're just working on other projects, get things done. So.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Angie, how's the safety department?
Good morning. Just business as usual, keeping busy, but things are going pretty good. So
that means everybody's staying safe, and that's good.
We like it that way.
Yep. Thank you. Krista, how's the public health?
Good morning. We're doing good. We're just keeping busy, really nothing new to report. We do have a work session today after the meeting.
Thank you. You're up, Trent.
Okay. Obviously, we had a work session after this. Lisa's got a jury trial upstairs. Keeping busy, you know.
Okay, thank you. Did I miss anybody? Okay, we shall move on. Correspondence, seeing none in the packet. The interview general have any correspondence?
I do not.
Okay, we'll move on to discussion vote. We need going into public hearing for the amended ordinance number 31 for the area Class C roads. Need a motion?
Motion to open public hearing. Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane Campbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Brian, do you want to speak on that?
I mean, we have beat this horse a number of times, I feel like. I'm not going to say a whole lot other than it's a very minor change. It actually brought some flexibility in for things to be, I guess, petitions to be considered without the 100% adjacent landowner signatures. So I don't think that's a bad thing. And I think in Trent's eyes, it also makes the ordinance a bit more legally feasible as far as enforcement. So I think in very brief summary, that's it. I've had no comments from anybody in any direction. I do think going forward, it won't be all that long, and we will have a petition coming our way from a dirt road, and that'll probably be the first one that comes along that doesn't have 100% landowners, but I don't, again, think that's the end of the world. So that's about all I have that to, unless you want me to hit something specific.
No, that's basically what it is getting rid of 100%.
Mm-hmm. So. I think it was a good cleanup.
Okay. If anybody from the public wants to comment on this in here in the room or online, they can call 319-753-8203, extension 4, or email board@dmcounty.com. And we'll give you 2 minutes to do that. So during them 2 minutes, has anybody got anything in? Did you remember what you were going to talk about, Kevin?
Yeah, we did a saturation patrol last Thursday night. We had the State Patrol, State Department of Public Safety, West Burlington, the county, and the Burlington Police Department, and had a lot of officers, and we just basically focused on areas of concern in the county. A lot of those areas land in Burlington, and we just saturated the area, had a lot of successes, things like that. And just kind of send the message that there's a that heavy presence, which can really help with the concerning areas, and it was successful. So we're glad to have all the participants, and it went really well. Increase our jail population, but that's the side effect of that.
Did you check out those classy roads while you were in the process?
I can't remember, that would have been before or after the rain. I saw some of those roads yesterday when we were doing the testing, and I was challenged to try one down off of Rock Springs, and I thought it may not be a good idea.
If it rained out there, you may want to think twice.
Yeah. I've been stuck on that road way back when.
Sticks with you.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was kind of down here when everybody else was up here on that, on all that radio stuff.
It's a lot.
It is.
I've had to go through some study manuals. Shanna passed on some information that that she had to do through some of her training, and I've tried to gain a basic knowledge, because when they talk to you, they expect you to know a lot of these things about narrow banding and UHF and VHF and 7800 megahertz. And when they start talking to you, you're like, I'm not tracking here, but I've tried to learn as much as I can just to gain that understanding and what concerns we need to be aware of for the future. About 10 years ago, they forced some narrow banding where that caused us to have to add some repeaters, basically improve signal strength throughout Des Moines County as opposed to just our tower on Golf Course Road. And having to add those repeaters is a significant cost. There's thoughts that in the coming years there could be a requirement to narrow band again, which on a very basic level, my understanding is, it's just creating more real estate, more room for additional broadcasts. And if that was forced again, then that would require additional repeaters on our current system at another significant cost. But with the state system, they maintain it, they keep that up, and it's digital. So trying to gain some understanding on that is, it's been an uphill battle for me as well.
I think maybe it was just an overview to give us sort of a framework to think about it, because
why
you get into too much of that stuff.
And they love that stuff. I mean, that's essentially they're first responders who have begun to do that as their full-time job. I mean, they're self-proclaimed radio geeks. They love it.
They breathe it.
Yes. Yeah. It's what they really enjoy, and it's needed, especially in those bigger departments. And to use that resource here locally when we don't have those kind of folks, it's great to have.
And Colin's sitting there laughing at you guys when you're talking.
I probably said four things that were wrong. And he's just, it's burning up right now.
Okay, 2 minutes are up. So nobody called in, nobody had any comments.
So. Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Make a motion to approve reading number 2 of the amended ordinance 31 and to waive the third hearing.
Second.
Sarah?
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. $485.89, and nothing for non-cashable taxes.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Accounts payable claims.
Should be in there.
It was in there.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is.
Don't scare me like that.
Boy, right here, Carrie.
Okay.
We found it.
I must have slid it over. We have account payable claims in amount of $955,558.45.
Motion to approve. Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. You don't like to do that every once in a while. You ought to see a look on your face.
I know it's in there, Jim.
Okay, we have personnel actions. First off, we have one for the conservation. And that's for Marcus Mack, Environmental Education Manager. It's a promotion to naturalist environmental education. Previous salary was $45,197.02. The new rate is $48,963.44, and that's per year.
Motion to approve. Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have one for IT. For Jesse Miller, Network Administrator, new hire, effective 9/12/2022, at $60,000 per year.
Motion to approve. Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have one for maintenance, Gage Johnson. It's anniversary date. Previous rate $38,136.53. The new rate is $38,934.74.
Motion to approve. Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have one for secondary roads, for Corey Clank, retirement, last day of work, 9/1/22. The final rate of pay was $27.58 an hour.
Motion to approve. Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCambell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I'd like to say thanks to Corey. He was with us for almost 16 years, and he had planned all along to retire this fall. He retired just a little bit earlier than he had planned, but so we appreciated him running Motorator and doing a good job in his district for those years, and I'm sure he will enjoy his retirement also.
Ward would second that. Thanks.
Okay, we have reports for the clerk courts report fees collected and the sheriff's monthly report on August of 2022. These will be on file in the auditor's office to view at your own discretion. Minutes for the regular meeting on September 13th, 2022.
Motion to approve. Second.
Sarah?
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes. Is there any other business?
I have one.
Future agenda items.
Go ahead, Shane.
I was going to say, I think we have one coming up next week with on the solar and wind.
Work session on the wind and solar. And actually, there's something else I forgot about that I don't know when we'll get it on the agenda, but maybe, I don't know if we need a work session on this or not, but the airport approach regulations we approved back in February, I want to say. As we went through the process in Burlington, there was something else that we needed to add in for them that I think applies to the county too. So I think we want to make a little amendment to that at some point here in the next month or so. Just as a heads up.
Is that an ordinance?
What's that?
Is it an ordinance?
Yeah, it's an ordinance. Yep. Okay. So you got to go through the hearings and all that stuff. Yep.
Is it a major change or just a tweak?
I don't think that matters. It's not a massive change, but maybe I'll look at the counter, maybe we'll do a work session on it just so I can explain what it is, and then we'll get the process laid out.
We also need an agenda item next week for the fall rural cleanup. It's Terry reminding.
And you reminded me, because you said you got a phone call.
Well, yeah. Someone reminded me.
Tis the season.
Mm-hmm. How much more?
I think to go back to Shane's question, though, because we just redid that 2 mile zoning ordinance, and then part of that afterwards brought into the airport, kind of, you know, that special zone there. So I think it's probably going to be a tweak in comparison to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think but the process for approval would be the same process.
But it can just be a short amendment of whatever needs to be tweaked.
Yeah. We can set that fall cleanup next week.
I looked at the dates when we did it last year, and so I did the comparable dates on there. And I sent it to the landfill to make sure that nothing has changed. And I think... I say there was about $6,700 in credits.
Something like that.
You say how much?
$6,700. Yeah. A little over. So, not before rural residents only. So.
You'll have to throw it in the ditch. You can take it to the dump for free. Landfill.
Mm-hmm. Recycling centers. If it's a fall.
That's a call I don't need.
Yeah.
If you can't put me on the agenda next week, I'll present our annual report. It would just be a quick update for you.
Does he get last on the agenda like I do when I do mine?
No, he's in the house.
No, he always been about 15 minutes up there.
He said quick.
We put yours on the back of the agenda.
Okay, moving on, the committee report.
I attended the CIT meeting that Ken mentioned. And one thing that I didn't realize, but they had some people there from ads, and I knew fentanyl was a problem, but I had no idea that they said fentanyl's in everything, even when people are trying to bring people off of a meth addiction. They're having opioid withdrawal because there's fentanyl in everything. If you didn't buy it at the pharmacy, you don't know what's in it. And people that do take meth or other things are scared to death because they don't know what's out there. So we have a fentanyl problem. I don't know if everybody that knows that. I didn't realize the extent of it, but apparently it's a deal. And I attended the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health and Disability Services Region meeting. And finishing up work to get the IRSH services going. And I had somebody mention to me that they've read that there's only 5 beds in this, and they wondered what good it was. Well, an intensive rehabilitation service home is really specialized. Those are people with serious problems that quite likely have burned most of the bridges behind them. They've been ejected from other facilities, and providers aren't lining up to take them. So it's great we're going to have one, but this isn't something that you need 60 or 70 homes. This is, it's a no eject, no reject facility, and they send them there, and there's, so
Where's that?
It's going to be in Burlington. They call it IRSH. It's an intensive rehabilitation service home. I suspect, well, I know that part of the first people that go there is they're closing the state resource, Glenwood, the state resource center. So some of those people will probably end up in this facility. And then, like I said, to be eligible for this, this isn't somebody that looks at you funny on the bus. This is somebody with serious, usually justice involved problems. So, and it's voluntary. They don't get committed there. So it isn't for, but it's another resource.
Yeah. Some assessment done to figure out if they need that high level of care. But it'll be here in Burlington on the south side, so.
And the state says we have to have one.
Yeah.
They decided that a couple, 3 years ago. I was on that committee, and they didn't think anybody would do it because they had to change the reimbursement rate. And if it's no eject, no reject, you can't turn down somebody just for whatever reason. You have to take them. So it took a little while to entice somebody to want to do that. So,
but they definitely have to meet the assessment level, because we ask questions about that. We got to make sure the right people are placed in that facility that really need that high level of care. So, and it is reimbursed by Medicaid, like Tom said, at a higher reimbursement rate.
So that would be at the highest tier rate.
So is that level 3, level 4?
Yeah, it's a special IRSH.
They have a special rate for it, don't
special
they?
Rate, yeah, special rate higher than any other rate.
Wasn't even
to put it in perspective, if you had one of those type of homes in every community, like those five people that really need that level of intensive care, they are 90% of the calls that you have on mental health. It's not dozens and dozens of people. It's the ones that go to the hospital and then they get released within hours. They do what they say is return them to a baseline where they're no longer that immediate threat to themselves or others. And then they're released back into the community, but within hours they either return to the same environment that caused them to do the things that they were doing, and then you're dealing with them again that same night or the next day. There's people out there that need that level of care. It's just hopefully we can use new skills that we're learning to talk them into being there voluntarily to get the help that they need. But once you get them there and then helping them maintain that, when they have that level of care, they really do, they see that positive change.
Well, is this mental health or is this substance abuse?
The particular person will tell me if I'm wrong. Here, intellectual disability can be part of the diagnosis, but it has to have some mental health issues to meet. And what we mentioned at that CIT, there's a service that's not available in Burlington, a 23-hour observation and hold, where if an officer takes the individual to that, again, it's voluntary, but that facility can hold them for 23 hours and assess them, maybe come down off drugs and alcohol and everything, but it's pretty much got to be a hospital. And nobody in this area, the closest one we can find is in Ottumwa. Of course, nobody's going to go to Ottumwa.
Yeah, we have a SIAC contract too, where SIAC can take people to Ottumwa to that 23-hour observation holding, but it's still such a long ways, and sometimes it'll take 3 or 4 hours for SIAC to be able to transport before, you know, so it's not perfect.
SIAC has these same struggles, so they're struggling with manpower right now. They sometimes are not even able to respond. So I think there's, like we talked about in our meeting, there's a definite willingness. I mean, we'll drive to Ottumwa, we'll drive to Iowa City, but we want to know that they're going to get that care. Some of the concerns of the past were, you know, the access centers were built up to be that no eject, no reject, but that's truly not what they were. And there was patients that were being taken there, and they were being rejected and or released, and then you've removed them from their community, and now they're in a town where they're in Iowa City. Then how do you get them back to the community, or if they just end up homeless in that area? And we don't want that. So those were struggles when we take somebody there and then they'd be released within an hour or two. And there was really, we weren't seeing that positive change. So we're working towards that. And I think we're all in this together. We want to see that. I think we're moving in the right direction.
That's all I've got.
That's a bunch.
It's a problem.
I had two, but the only thing I wanted to report is that on mandatory reporting, we've really got with the youth, we've really got some issues here in Des Moines County. We've got some wonderful parents in Des Moines County, but we've got some parents that really need help, and the kids are the ones that take the brunt of that blow. So I just want to remind everybody and anybody that's watching that if you live in Des Moines County and you actually see something, you really are a mandatory reporter, and you need to report that. So a lot of kids going through a lot of traumatic things right here in Des Moines County, so we just need to be mindful of that. That's all I've got.
Well, Krista, thanks. You give an update on the Board of Health for me, so I appreciate that.
And I'm just giving the update. Do you want me to give a brief update? Sorry.
Well, you said there wasn't much going on outside of our meeting that we discussed about what we're going to have a work session on.
A work session also on the vaping ordinance. That was one thing that came up out of the Board of Health meeting. I know in the past that the Board of Health did a position statement on it, and I know we did a work session on doing a vaping ordinance, and the Board of Health would like to know maybe set up another work session to do possibly a vaping ordinance, so the board would be willing to do a work session. Sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier.
Yeah. Then I had a rural utility service system meeting. Everything's going well. Our new hire, we give him his 6 months probation and everything's over, and we gave him a raise. And our pump truck that we bought last year is doing real well. It saved us over $68,000 this year on doing our own pumping. So it's worked out real well. It's a good decision to buy that. That's all I had.
Jimmy, I just want to go up there again. Just a reminder that we do have a machine for styrofoam to help you get rid of those things, so you don't have to be slick and throw it away or try to flush it. We've got a machine now that's dealing with that, so just want to remind everybody of that. Styrofoam.
Okay, public input. Anybody from the public have anything to say? We'll give you 2 minutes. If you're listening online, you can call the board at 319-753-8203, extension 4, or you can email board@dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes to do that. And we've got 2 minutes in here. Does anybody have anything else they want to bring up?
No, other than to say that with the vaping ordinance, I know when we went to Tall Cop, and you had some people that have left Tall Cop.
I've seen him yet.
Yeah, if you're doing that, I think I'd want to get in touch with him, because that was one of the things he hit on, was these legal kind of synthetic drug replacements, I would call them. That's a lot of what he really works.
Yeah, go ahead.
Works on, where he's saying these things that are like, Kratom's one of them, but there's a whole laundry list of them, where there's these synthetic, what he's calling drug replacements, things that are being put out there that when they're used in combination, create the effects that people would have if they were using hard drugs. And they're on the market because they're on the market as supplements or vitamins. And so they're not regulated until after the fact. So he did talk a bit about legislation and said that, you know, there are certain places where so I think I'd like to at least get when you're talking that, I'd like to get his spin, if that's something we're going to do, to really try to say it, you know, because there's a lot of those things that are pretty, like, they have several THC variants that are legal because they're not the exact specific one that's regulated that are out there. It's just one example. But honestly, that's the least concerning of the examples, really. There are several examples of things that are out there that are really synthetic drugs replacing other drugs that I think are concerning, wouldn't you?
So, like, if you guys remember bath salts, those were a major concern. That was a synthetic drug. But the code changes couldn't keep up with the chemistry changes.
Right.
So you build the code, and you do those legislative updates, but then they just simply change the chemical makeup to the point where we would seize these, have them tested, and the lab results wouldn't show that it wouldn't meet the standard for the charges.
Right.
So it's very hard to keep up with those changes, and just to make a blanket code on it is nearly impossible for their ability to simply change the chemical makeup.
Right.
It's an uphill battle if you're not able to make that blanket code. And most of it's going to be synthetic now that we're going to see.
I just want to piggyback on what Trent said, that vaping really is, we really need to have tall cop come, but vaping really is starting to become an issue. I didn't realize that it was. But you've got kids now carrying vapes into school, and these aren't even tobacco vapes. These are weed. And they have vape pens that are walking down the street smoking weed and stuff like that. Well, they're marked differently and stuff. So even though they sell vape pens that are tobacco or whatever, they got all kinds of vape pens out. Man, people walking around jacked up and stuff. So it's pretty bad. And they're selling them. Here's the kicker. They're selling them in like flavors like strawberry and raspberry and stuff. Stuff like that. So it is. It really, is. Huh? We're live right now. Somebody's a couple pimping.
I get all these flavors. I see.
Well,
okay, our two answers up to call in, but
we're great.
With a,
I shouldn't joke like that.
And I, we're out of here.
Hi.
We are going to have a work session here. Give us about 5 minutes here.